There's no way out of the message of the gospel. No one really has a choice to be anywhere in between. Either you are on one side or the other.
Mission 66 comes from the ministry of Bible teacher and pastor Dr. Luis Seau and reaches listeners worldwide in multiple languages through Trans World Radio. I'm Rob Dempsey. Let me remind you to download your free study guide of the Gospels. You'll be able to go deeper into God's Word and follow along with each day's program. It's a great companion resource of the audio teaching of John Matthews and Esther Sisulu. To get your free study guide of the Gospels, visit mission66.org. That's mission66.org. John Matthews is our teacher, and his co-host, Esther Sisulu, is here to kick things off.
Greetings to you, my dear friend. Today we will continue our journey through the Gospels, looking closely at the book of Matthew chapter 10. And here, we'll find Jesus' disciples being named. The first men who dared to trust the words of Jesus and decided to go for the challenge. But is it possible, is it really possible to live according to the principles of faith and do God's will nowadays in this 21st century in which we live? Well, how should we face intolerance and opposition of those who ignore the teachings of Jesus? Well, stay with us as our teacher, John Matthews, presents the theme, A Mission Almost Impossible.
Esther, thank you, and a very warm welcome to you wherever you're listening to Mission 66 today. I wonder what it would be like if you had someone in your life who was always there for you, never let you down, and always brought you a sense of peace and perspective when you were in their presence, regardless of the circumstances or difficulties you were facing in life. That would have to be an anointed one, wouldn't it? And you know, Jesus is presented here in Matthew as the anointed one, the one who will bring forward the kingdom of heaven, the long-awaited kingdom spoken of back in the prophecies of the Old Testament. And now we're beginning to see Jesus engage in his mission and observe what the message is that Jesus will preach here in Matthew. He actually begins at the end of chapter 9, verse 35, continuing into chapter 10 by saying, "And Jesus went through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.'" Jesus announces good news, that the kingdom is near. He's healing the sick and he's moving the crowds. He's moving their souls, their emotions, their minds with his words and these deeds of compassion. And what we find here is that those who will believe on Christ are represented as a large harvest. You know, the souls of men must be, as it were, harvested, which will happen as the good news is preached, and it's necessary to send the proper number of workers for this work. And Jesus begins his great mission of bringing forward the kingdom of heaven, and this will reach out throughout the centuries, throughout history, expanding the kingdom of God with the message of Christ, the message that the Messiah has indeed come. Let's look at the beginning then of chapter 10, when Jesus calls his 12 disciples, and he then gives them this authority to do what? Well, he gives them incredible authority to cast out demons and to heal the sick. So here comes the list of disciples, starting verse 2, saying the names of the 12 disciples are these: first Simon, who is called Peter, Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas, and Matthew the tax collector, James the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. So Jesus is presenting here the first workers in the harvest.
You know, John, something that I've wondered about for a while now, Do you think that we actually have apostles in our modern day context? And do they have the same authority as, say, the first ones?
Well, Esther, the word apostle simply means one who is sent. So just as Jesus sent these first 12 on, humanly speaking, what was an impossible mission, one could say that we as believers are also sent to represent Jesus in the world. But there was something special about these men. Let's take a look at some of these guys and how Jesus actually picked out people from very different backgrounds and walks of life. You had Matthew, didn't you, who was a tax collector. Then there's Simon the Zealot. This is a man who you could describe as a patriot who wanted to violently overthrow the rule of the Romans. Peter, boisterous, boastful fisherman. You know, someone who sometimes acted and then thought. Andrew, the gentle soul. John, who had this special gift for love. Philip, the evangelist. And each one of them came from a different section of society. And later on, we'll have the Apostle Paul as well, who takes the place of Judas Iscariot after he left the scene. And now, I know today there are preachers or evangelists who might take on themselves the title apostle, or churches who might honour them with that title. No harm, I suppose, in doing that, if that's what they want to do. But they're not people who really can consider themselves equals of the original 12 called by Jesus, some of whom wrote books in the New Testament. You know, this is the key. Those original disciples, they were eyewitnesses to Jesus' resurrection, and the ministry continues in the pages of the Bible, which we're going to be studying here, looking at on Mission 66.
And I can tell you, it's been such a journey, very eye-opening, very life-changing. But here's the thing. Do you think that it's possible for ordinary believers like, say, you and me to do what the apostles did back then? I mean, they healed the sick, they raised the dead, and even cast out demons.
Well, the theme today in this episode is Mission Almost Impossible. And, you know, no one can ever say that something's totally impossible. You know, I've seen miracles happening. I've seen healings that left doctors speechless. I've seen provisions appear that just can't be explained. Who knows what may be possible when people, ordinary people, have great faith in a great miracle-working God. You know, the Bible says that all things are possible for those who believe. So miracles did happen in the Bible, in both the Old and the New Testaments, and they still happen today when faith is present. The Bible says all things are possible. But even if it should be that one of us is able to work a miracle, let's say, of healing or even raising somebody from the dead, this wouldn't make anyone into a super saint. You know, we have to give Almighty God all the credit, because the power to do anything like that comes from Him. On the other hand, why should we doubt that it could happen? Because God, in all His power, does extraordinary things like this still today. But this is not something that every single Christian must do as an obligation or a proof of his Christianity. That's not right. But Jesus is going to show them that there are great difficulties and perils ahead for them, for those who preach the good news of the kingdom of heaven. And you know, Jesus is the first to engage on this almost impossible mission. And along with him, these 12 men go with the instructions not to go among the Gentiles or enter the towns of the Samaritans yet, but rather it says they should go first to the lost sheep of Israel, and they should bring them this message. You know, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. They should heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. In verse 8 it says, "You received without paying. Give without pay." So the kingdom of God is here, comes with great power, power to be victorious over demons, power to heal all sorts of infirmities, power to raise the dead back to life even. And this power is all because of Jesus Christ himself. It's his doing. So Jesus teaches his disciples that they shouldn't take any gold or silver or copper on their missions, that they shouldn't depend on human provision, shouldn't even take a bag for the journey or an extra shirt or sandals or a staff. Or, in Jesus' words, the labourer deserves his food. That means that they should receive something from those who've benefited by their coming and announcing the arrival of the good news of the kingdom. And their mission continues. And Jesus says to the guys, the apostles, in verse 11, "And whatever town or village you enter, find out who is worthy in it and stay there until you depart. As you enter the house, greet it. And if the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you." And with this, there would be a blessing or even the loss of a blessing, all depending on how these people would receive and treat the men that were on this difficult mission, this mission almost impossible. But you know what? Not everybody would receive the word of God. So similar today. Not everybody recognizes it, let alone receive it. Jesus knew that there would be people who would oppose the message that these disciples were bringing. So he says this: "It will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town." He's talking about a group of people within a town here. And it was a pretty dire warning that those who don't listen to Jesus's disciples would be destroyed on the day of judgment, much like the towns of Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed by fire from heaven in the account in Genesis.
We are on an adventure of a lifetime here on Mission 66, and we're looking at Matthew chapter 10 in our theme, Mission Almost Impossible. Now, John, it seems that wherever God's message is being preached, it causes some sort of division, a separation. Some people, they receive it so gladly, and others, they just reject it harshly. Why do you reckon this is?
Well, it comes back a little bit, doesn't it, to what we were talking about at the very beginning, that the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ has one way or the other. So there's a division, isn't there? And Jesus warned his disciples that as a result of this, that they would face opposition. He says, "Behold, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be as wise as serpents and innocent as doves." You know, his messengers were to keep their wits about them, but they were not to be violent, not to retaliate, not to declare a holy war against their persecutors or even against those who didn't agree with them. God will supernaturally give us strength to endure difficult situations and even grow our faith through those situations, even the ones that include persecution. And then Jesus adds, "Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in their synagogues, and you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake, to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you." You see, the expansion of this kingdom, this entire mission, is happening in a supernatural way. Therefore, the provision for it comes from God, and the work of the Holy Spirit is behind it all, even revealing to his people what they are to say if they're arrested. Even if it comes to being interrogated, the Spirit of God will help us at these times. And the opposition against this kingdom will reach a point where it will become radical. Jesus says in verse 21, "Brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise up against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes." So Jesus is announcing here that his this mission to establish the kingdom of heaven here on earth will be marked by a general and open rebellion against his church, that persecution will strike even within the heart of families. And, well, we see this, don't we? We see this happening in places today where following Christ, being his disciple, boy, it's tough, really tough. And so we shouldn't consider it strange, because Jesus then says, if they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, that's another name for the devil, how much more would they malign those of his household? But despite this, no true Christian should be afraid. This is encouraging, because Jesus says, have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. And yeah, you know, there are some people in this world who would kill us if they could. But we should fear God more than we fear such people. Persecution and suffering for being a Christian, well, it shouldn't deter anyone who's received this new life, this new heart from Christ. Many times, you know, we'll be welcomed by our friends because we've decided to make a Christian commitment. But the reality is that this will not always be the case. And Jesus continues in verse 29 saying, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father knowing. Even the hairs on your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. And so, therefore, the need here is to have this radical attitude of courage while carrying out this mission almost impossible.
Yeah, you know, when you think about it, living this Christian life, it seems impossible, even when things are going well. I mean, truly, I don't know how I would respond or behave if they had to come after me with guns and knives.
Yeah, we get that, Esther, don't we? That fear, it's such a natural part of our being human, of our humanity. And I think, well, we know, don't we, that this is why Jesus encourages us, that he will help us himself if that time comes. And not even a time like that, he certainly will, but whenever we feel anxious, you know, it's when fears fill our heart, and whatever form that looks like. And you know, that kind of help is something that's humanly impossible, but to God everything is possible. And therefore this mission almost impossible becomes a mission completely possible. Verse 32, Jesus says, so everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think, says Jesus, that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a person's enemies will be those of his own household. You know, many times being committed to Christ, being his faithful follower, it's going to cause us difficulties at home, in life, in a family, where people are forced to choose between love of family, perhaps, and love for Christ. And we know those who've been thrown out of their families just because they've become Christians and the rest of the family did not like it. And this is why Jesus tells us ahead of time so we can take courage. And this is why Jesus says in verse 37, whoever loves a father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves a son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Certainly we ought to love and honour our parents, and parents ought to love their sons and daughters, of course. And if we're married, then we ought to love our spouse. But Jesus here requires that God comes before any earthly relationship. We have to turn everything over to Him, even our own lives. But remember, it's not for nothing that we follow Christ. And chapter 10 ends with this promise of rich reward for those who remain faithful to Him until the end. Even those who support and pray for God's spokespeople will be rewarded. Verse 40, Jesus says this, "Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. The one who receives a prophet because he's a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And the one who receives a righteous person because he is a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward." You know, for all those who have a commitment with the kingdom of God, there will be great reward. And despite the fact that this mission seems difficult, know that this mission is difficult, almost impossible. With Christ in the lead, bringing forth his kingdom, everything becomes miraculously possible, Esther.
Amen, amen. With Christ, all things are possible. Okay, well, now that I look at verse 5 of chapter 10, it mentions the Gentiles and the Samaritans. Now, there are some people who may believe that they've been excluded from the kingdom. What actually happens to them?
Well, Esther, in the plan of God, for reasons known to him, the gospel was sent initially to the lost sheep of Israel, is the description, and that effectively means to the Jews. But it doesn't mean that it was sent exclusively to the Jews. It means that initially, since they were awaiting the arrival of the Messianic King, the prophecies and the fulfilling of these prophecies found in the Old Testament and the Gospel was to come first to the Jews. But later on, we'll see as we go through the New Testament and the book of Acts that the first church was founded in Jerusalem. And from there, the Gospel was preached to the Samaritans and finally to the Gentile world as well. And if those terms aren't particularly familiar to us today, well, that means to everybody in the world. And so that is an ongoing mission, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, I could ask you questions until the day ends, but I've just got one more question for you. How can we understand this passage where Jesus says, "Truly I tell you, you will not finish going through the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes"? I mean, what is that time frame? Has it happened already? Is it still to come?
Well, some believe that this was actually fulfilled in the year 70 with the destruction of the city of Jerusalem by the Romans. And that would have been seen as a sort of judgment sent by the Son of Man, who came in a sense in judgment. But the idea of the Son of Man coming generally refers to his second coming, that is, in the future. And that's related to the end times. So Jesus may have been saying that his followers who are attempting to spread the gospel everywhere will not have enough time to go to all the towns of Israel or indeed the world before he makes his second appearance. And so world evangelism, by that we mean reaching everyone with this message of hope, love and forgiveness of Jesus Christ, is one of those missions that appears mostly impossible. But with God's help, it is possible. And we're looking forward, aren't we, to that kingdom where God's will is finally going to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then, boy, will it be worth it all when we see Jesus face to face.
A day that I am certainly waiting for with bated breath. Wow, John, you certainly hit on a lot of important points today. So how can we summarize chapter 10?
So there we are, Mission 66 today, Matthew 10, as you say, was our theme was Mission Almost Impossible. God sending his only son first to the Jews, saying that the kingdom of God is upon you. God's plan was that the Jewish nation would receive their Messiah gladly and spread the kingdom to the rest of the world. Some did repent of their sins, of course, and they believed on Jesus' name. That is, believed he was who he said he was. But most of them didn't. They stirred up by the religious elite, ended up crucifying him. So in the plan of God, the gospel, the good news, was sent forth from there to the rest of the world. Anyone, Jew, Gentile is the word the Bible uses, but that signifies everybody else, if you like, can be saved by faith in Christ. And this message, which is intended to be a blessing, boy, it has provoked much opposition, much difficulty, and much persecution for the church. But there are not many ways to be saved from our sins. There's only one. There's no way out of the message of the gospel. No one really has the choice to be anywhere in between. Either you are on one side or the other. So, dear listeners, remember, in order to receive this great salvation, you've got to first accept Jesus with all of your heart.
And it's on that contemplative note that we conclude today's episode. Thank you so much for allowing us to lead you on this great adventure in God's Word, friend. Well, we'll continue next on Mission 66 with more in the Gospel according to Matthew about the life and the teachings of Jesus Christ. So until then, goodbye and God bless you.
That wraps up today's episode of Mission 66 with John Matthews and Esther Sisulu. Follow their daily teaching by downloading your free study guide of the Gospels at mission66.org. Go deeper into God's Word and discover how each day's teaching can apply to your life. James chapter 1, verse 22 tells us to be doers of the Word, not just hearers. Download your free study guide at mission66.org and have it for our next program. That's also where you can leave a comment or make a donation to continue Mission 66 here and around the world. That's mission66.org. Mission 66 is a ministry of Transworld Radio in partnership with Dr. Luis Seau. I'm Rob Dempsey.